Good afternoon, and welcome to the August 22nd edition of Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I'm in the studio with Laurent Landis and Alex the intern. Today's Alex's last day with us. Alex, hi. Where are you going? Kind of, yes.
I'm going to UNT, and I don't
no
have
car.
A car,
no
so car. I can't come every week like I used to.
Okay, so when the green line and the number one line both open, the number one line is going to be...
Which is scheduled for when?
December.
Okay.
So then you'll be able to come. Because the green line stops right in front of the studio here.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
But hopefully he'll be
until
back
then,
before
until
December.
Then, he will continue to be recording the shows and putting them online.
Yes, I'll still be online.
Yeah, we want to thank you for everything you did. You set up our Facebook pages.
He really has.
And for the Polka Show and for our website for Lambda Weekly and done a whole bunch of stuff. And thank you, Alex. That's
thank you very much.
Very helpful. Patty.
Best
still,
intern we've ever had.
Yes. In 25 years. Only one. Patty is still out with kidney stones today. Does kidney stones... I emailed her. She said, I don't know what's going on here. And I said, well, Patty, you know how they say that passing kidney stones is just like being pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
I said, maybe you are... maybe you're pregnant. Because this is awfully long for a kidney stone.
I haven't...
No?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can friend us on Facebook. Thanks to Alex. And you can download podcasts of the show, thanks to Alex. And you'll find them at lambdaweekly.com, thanks to Alex. And he's going to still help us.
Yes.
So.
And when we can't figure it out,
we'll be here with
we'll
us.
We'll be calling.
Right. And we're taking Alex out after the show.
Good.
A
lot of news this week.
There is a lot of news. Let's go back to the Prop 8 story, which is the story that's been unfolding, kind of as a
well. It's just been
thing.
Yeah. Every week is this happened. Now this happened. Now this
right.
happened. Of course, the week before last, Judge Walker let his stay expire, and so same-sex marriages were supposed to have started or resumed on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, the appellate court has. They ruled that the stay should stay in place.
They put on their own stay.
Yes.
And it was not unusual and it was not unexpected
no.
for him to rule that way. Rather than just lifting the stay, it gave the appellate court enough time to consider whether or not they wanted their own stay. And attorneys who are looking at the case have said, and have been closely associated with the case, have said that, first of all, judges don't like a whole lot of confusion. So if we can keep the status quo, leave it alone until
exactly.
we have a final rule.
That's very that's routine.
That's normal.
Yeah.
Second thing they said was it was a compromise because what they did was they also put this on fast track. This case is going to be heard in December.
Mm-hmm. With oral arguments in January. That is pretty fast.
Yeah. It's going to be heard before a new governor is in office.
Yes.
And we'll get to her in a second if it is her.
If in fact she wins.
Yeah. But by doing it on a fast track, the attorneys that I spoke to this week said they thought that it was really a compromise. But the other thing that was encouraging, as far
mm-hmm.
as they were concerned, now we don't know who the three judges are who are going to hear this trial, but what was encouraging was that they asked the interveners, the defendants,
mm-hmm.
they said, you need to show us why you have a stake in this case.
Yeah, why you have standing. Because, if listeners recall, there's some talk about if they even have standing to even take this case even further. It might be over already.
Right.
And if, in fact, the appeals court rules that they don't have standing, then they won't even rule on the constitutionality of what
right. So here's
Judge
what
Walker
they,
did.
Here's what they can do. If they rule they don't have standing, then they can appeal that to the Supreme Court.
They can appeal that to the Supreme Court.
Here's what's interesting there. Standing is usually considered more of a conservative thing, a narrow view of standing.
Mm-hmm.
So the judges that would be most likely in an average case to say you don't have standing would be Scalia, Thomas, Alito, Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd be the ones. It's the more liberal judges that usually give a wider view on who has standing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is usually the more conservative judges believe that standing is something that we really just want to rule so that we want to make rulings that affect real people. And if you don't have standing, if you don't have a stake in this case, if I rule in your favor, it doesn't do anything. I don't really want to bother wasting my morning hearing these arguments and then spending all that time writing my decision on something that's not going to affect you.
Right. But, you know, we are talking about Judge Thomas of the Supreme Court. I could easily see him twisting
that logic around.
Well, yes.
What we could see is them wanting to hear the case. Actually, I think they don't want to hear this case.
I don't think they do either.
And
well, not the standing. They probably don't mind hearing the standing case. I don't think they want to hear the meat of the case.
Right.
But a good way to get rid of it
is to not hear it, is to say, no, you don't have standing.
That's true.
The reason they don't have standing, and they did in the lower court case, was because even though the state was the defendant, the state did not say, we are not going to assist in this case. The state actually did give some answers, send some papers, do some things that a defense attorney needs to do, and the interveners presented the case such that it was the lack of case.
Yeah.
On the appeal, though, the governor and the attorney general have both ruled, or have both said, they don't want it appealed.
No.
Which means that the state, who is the defendant, who is the named defendant, is saying, not in my name. Don't do this in my name. So
they accept the ruling and want to move on.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, here's what we're saying about the new governor and she. Meg Whitman, former CEO of eBay, is running for governor of California. And she said this week that if elected, she would defend Proposition 8. Now, here's my question. The case is going to be heard before she or Jerry Brown, who's running on the Democratic side, could be sworn in. What I'm wondering is if it'll be heard without the state on the appellate level, if it gets appealed from there, can she jump in and say, oh, yes, we are involved in it now? You know, can you have new interveners?
Right.
Or can the defendants who decided not to be defendants jump in and say, oh, yes, we want to be defendants?
I don't know.
Here's an interesting thing, an interesting little sideline. First of all, my questions about her are, why is she doing that? Is she really that right wing? And she was the CEO of a Silicon Valley internet company. She had lots of gay people working for her. Is she really that socially conservative? Or is she pandering to the right wing of her party and just trying to gain points? Is she, since Jerry Brown, who's the attorney general now, is her opponent running for governor, is she just trying to say, well, he's saying that we accept the ruling, I don't accept the ruling? You know, he's saying he likes chocolate ice cream, so I like vanilla ice cream.
That might be it.
And it could be nothing more than that. The other thing is, do you know who's running for lieutenant governor on the Democratic side? Gavin Newsom.
That's right.
Governor
mayor of San Francisco,
who was the one who actually started the whole thing by just saying, huh, I think our city's going to issue marriage licenses. He did that a number of years ago.
He did.
And he started marrying people himself. So he's running for lieutenant governor. You know what he's doing on the stump? He's playing down all talk of gay marriage whatsoever. He's just not even talking about it. Good or bad idea for him?
Probably good.
I'm agreeing with you on that.
Because obviously, as lieutenant governor, he has more things to do than just focus on same-sex marriage. He wants to get it out that, hey, I can do other things. I'm here, you know.
I have another reason.
Okay.
He's known for this issue.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to gain his cred with the gay community, with liberals, with anybody. He doesn't need to gain his cred on this issue. People know where he stands on it.
Exactly. So they need to know where he stands on other issues.
Yeah. So I think it's actually a good idea for him to,
it doesn't mean,
to move on. And
yeah, that doesn't mean he hasn't changed his position or how he feels about his support for the GLBT community at all.
Yeah. So. He's one of the few politicians, I would say, out there who just doesn't have to worry about what people think about him on this issue. You don't have to keep harping on something for people to know what you're
saying. And I also read, you know, I don't have the direct quote, but he says something like, you know, at this point, the whole fight is much bigger than me, and it's out of my hands anyway. And right. he's right. So there's no need for – he's done all that he could do.
Right.
There's no need for him to keep harping on it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You know, and he's not in a position where he can appeal, not appeal.
Exactly.
Even the governor, I mean, the name of the case is Perry versus
Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger's the named defendant on this who said, don't appeal, and it's still being appealed. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if he can't do anything about it, certainly the person running for lieutenant governor can't do anything about it.
Exactly.
What
else going on?
Anyway, with Prop 8, it'll be interesting to see. One of the attorneys I spoke to said, you know, I said, what should we look for? It's interesting that the appeal that they will be filing,
mm-hmm.
we don't know what they're appealing based on. The appeal itself, you know, they appealed it. We're going to hear it. It'll be expedited. We need your papers by such and such a date.
Mm-hmm.
But when you appeal something, you can't just appeal something and say, but I don't like that ruling.
Right. You got to give a reason.
I just don't like it.
Right.
So what she told me was look for things that they're going to be, you know, they'll probably be floating trial balloons over the next month or so. But when they file it, look for what they're filing. And we should start seeing those in a month, maybe 2 months. What are the possible things that they could appeal on? Well, they could appeal based on Judge Walker having completely ignored everything that discounted everything that the defense witnesses said. And they can appeal based on their witnesses were unfairly dismissed. They can appeal based on while what the judge said might have been true, he still misinterpreted the law about propositions in California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so now this is the law of California. It's part of the Constitution. So anything that the Constitution previously said, it has been changed as a result of this. And this is how we change our Constitution. So we'll be looking to see what it is that they're actually appealing on. That's the one thing. We know that they're questioning their standing. The other thing is the three judges that accepted the ruling and put the stay on until the case is heard by the appellate court, those are not necessarily the judges that are going to hear the case when it comes to them. Those three will be just
randomly picked.
Mm-hmm. And there are 29 judges in that court. It'll be heard by three. If at that point, if after their ruling, one side or the other wants to appeal, and one side will, it can be heard en banc, which mm-hmm. means 11 judges out of the 29, again, pulled randomly.
Uh-huh.
And the court is, you know, you're hearing, especially from Fox News and Texas, that, oh, this is such a liberal court. And from what everybody has told me, it's a very balanced court. Some are very liberal, some are very conservative, and some are right in the middle.
Right.
So you could pull three who are very conservative. You could pull, you know, you could pull three very liberal ones, or you could pull a range. And
long story short, I think this case is far from over.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's far from over. Even if the Supreme Court denies to hear certain parts of it, you know, they can, like you said, they can file en banc and. Yeah, it's going to be a while.
Okay, another court ruling. National Organization for Marriage,
mm-hmm.
that's Maggie Gallagher's group.
Oh, yeah.
They're the ones who financed the Prop 8 mess, and they're the ones who also campaigned and led the campaign against the Maine marriage law and kept that from going into effect. Well, a federal judge in Maine ruled in favor of NOM. They filed a lawsuit which claimed that a campaign finance law for political action committees, PACs, were too burdensome. So a district judge ruling upheld most of the law, but here's the interesting thing that he ruled. He said, mandating PACs to disclose expenditures of more than $250 is unconstitutionally burdensome. Now, if you have a PAC, and people are giving you money, And we're not talking a PAC that's just spending, you know, in the hundreds of dollars, because what their law says is you have to report all money over $250,000.
Right.
So you have thousands and thousands of dollars. So you have donors giving you money. How do you think that money's accounted for?
You keep track of it.
Yeah. I mean, you have a computer program. You have QuickBooks. You have something.
It's called a bookkeeper.
But you enter everything.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You enter every time you spend a dollar out of this account, right? So they were charging that reporting expenditures of more than $250 is unconstitutionally burdensome.
How so?
Using a program like this, you enter what it was for. You know, it's like it's an online checkbook, basically. You enter what it was for, and you enter the amount. It takes more work to sort than it does to just say, here's everything. So to say it's too burdensome is a stupid argument, I think. And I think this judge bought into their nonsense.
Yeah, apparently.
It's as burdensome to report one expenditure. He didn't say what they do have to disclose.
Mm-hmm.
He just said every expenditure over $250 is burdensome. He didn't say, but you do have to report over $1,000. It is as much work to go through and pick out everything that's more than $1,000 as it is to pick out everything that's more than $250. And the easiest thing is, here are our books. Here's a list of everything we spent on.
So this ruling lets NOM...
It lets NOM hide money.
Yeah.
And any political action committee in Maine, it lets them hide money. You know, I like open and honest, and here's what we spent it on. I'm wondering what it is that they're hiding, what $250 expenditures they're hiding. because they were hiding something. Either that, or they are so uncoordinated, unorganized, that they're not keeping track of any of their...
I wonder, will this be appealed?
You know... It was a district judge. I'll bet it will be appealed. You know, again, it's one of those things. It's a law. The state defends the law.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't rule that now you have to disclose everything that's more than $1,000. He just said $250 is unconstitutional. I could see the other side appealing this just based on so they don't have to disclose anything. And also appealing it based on, if they're keeping their books, just disclose what, just,
right.
You know, you push a button or you type in everything over $1,000, everything over $250, everything. You have to generate a report, and it doesn't take a whole lot of work to do, unless they're not doing any of that, in which case... You know, you should be required to keep track of books.
I thought you were, but hey, I'm not.
Well, apparently you're not.
I'm not a packed aficionado.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. We'll be back with more right after this.
If it's time to get rid of your old gas guzzler, the KNON Vehicle Donation Program can help. There's still a market for those old vehicles, and if you donate it, you're helping support quality programming here on KNON. Just call 877-KNON-AUTO or go online at knon.org. We'll take care of everything from free pickup to sending you your tax paperwork. 877-KNON-AUTO.
Advisory Board. It's a great opportunity to offer your voice to the voice of the people. The board provides a vehicle for community input about KNON's programming, community service, and policies. The role of the Community Advisory Board is solely advisory. No existing volunteers, DJs, or relatives of volunteers or DJs are eligible. This board meets 4 times a year. Meetings are open to the public. If you are interested, please go to knon.org and click on Contact the Station for more information.
93.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with LaRon Landis and Alex the intern on his last day with us in the studio.
We'll miss you, Alex.
And we will. And Patty is home with kidney stones.
But not pregnant.
No, she's not. I think she is. God, kidney stones are miserable.
Yeah. Knock on wood, I've never had them. Hopefully I never will.
But she has had them a long time. They usually pass by now. Others haven't. A story that's made national news comes from Bedford.
Yeah, here locally. Yeah. A child has been denied entrance into an Episcopal school out in Bedford, my hometown, because her parents are married lesbians, a married lesbian couple. The couple, Jill and Tracy Harrison, they were married in Canada in 2006. And, you know, they attended, I guess, the school's parent night. And when they filled out the forms, I guess one of the mothers scratched out the word father and wrote mother. And I guess a day or two after that, they got the news that I guess the child's application status has been denied.
One of the parents' names is Tracy, and they thought that Tracy was the father.
Yes, but when she scratched it out and made it clear it was mother, these are two mothers.
Yeah.
So I have
it
two.
It wasn't until they visited the school together that the school really got it.
I got two schools of thought about the story. Mm-hmm. One, I know there's a thing called religious freedom, and I don't think that any law should be passed to force any denominations to accept same-sex marriage, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have talked about that a million times on here. However, maybe law should be written to enforce where you do protect children. Why would you do that to a child? I just don't understand. Why would you deny a child anything? This is a kid. You know, the kid can't help who their parents are. I don't know why any religion would want to do that to a kid. That's one school of thought. The other one is, I don't understand why certain gay and lesbian parents would even want to take their child to such a school.
I understand it in this case. It is possible that the parents did not do full due diligence on the school. And here's why I say
that. Apparently not.
Here's why I say that. The Episcopal Church is very gay friendly.
They are.
Except in Tarrant County. Dallas isn't that friendly, but Tarrant County withdrew from the Episcopal religion over gay issues.
Right, right.
It was Fort Worth and one or two other dioceses around the country. Who are now affiliated with...
Well, the head of the school says that we are a church affiliated with the Anglican Church of North America, and it is their policy that we don't provide services to individuals or families that do not behave properly. We are going off on our canons to say that the Anglican Church of North America affirms our Lord's teaching. Hold on, where's the rest of it?
But the school is still called the Episcopal School.
Let's see here. It is. It's called at the St. Vincent's Episcopal School, but they're saying that they're not.
Well, because the Fort Worth Diocese withdrew, and instead of changing their name, they just...
The Episcopal Diocese of Fort Worth confirmed this in a press release on Saturday, stating that the church has been deposed by the Episcopal Church. Yes.
Right.
So, I don't know. I would never, ever take Gabrielle and want to enroll her into a religious school. I just wouldn't. And, I mean, it would have to be something like the MCC Church if they had a school or something like that. Other than that, I'm not doing it.
There are lots of religious schools that are, you know, just gay-friendly. Most Catholic schools are. There have been a few, and they've been high-profile cases where some Catholic schools have denied also.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But most have not.
I guess, and you know, we've done this with everything, with a lot of things. Even before Gabrielle came into existence, you have to do your homework.
Yeah.
You have to do your homework. And I think you need to go overboard when you have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
They should have found this out beforehand. I'm not excusing what the church did. Again, I don't know why you would do that to a child. I do not understand why you do that to a child. However, you should have done your homework also. Mm-hmm. The church did refund their $100 application fee.
Nice.
They said they found a non-religious school for the little girl, and they made sure this time that the school was okay with same-sex parents.
You know, in that case, I'll bet this set of parents just thought, well, the Episcopal Church welcomes us. Not that Episcopal Church.
Not that Episcopal Church.
The Episcopal Church, the policy of the church, is accepting and open. And, you know, they have a gay bishop. They just ordained a lesbian bishop in Los Angeles.
They did.
So, you know, why would you even think that this one particular school wouldn't accept their kid? For a lot of the reasons you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's stay on the school theme a little bit. There is a graduate student. Her name is Jennifer Keaton. She refused to read material about counseling gays and lesbians and increase her exposure to that community because it goes against her religious beliefs. She was a student at Augusta State University. A district judge has ruled that Augusta State's requirement was academically legitimate. His ruling allows the school to expel Keaton if she doesn't follow the remediation plan. Keaton said that, the judge said that the case isn't about pitting Christianity against homosexuality, but rather the constitutionality of the school's requirement. Three professors who were involved in her expulsion testified that they never told her that she was required to change her religious beliefs in order to stay in the counseling program. So they were very clear about that. Maintain your religious beliefs, but I'm giving you a book that you need to read. He noted that Keaton did not testify at the hearing or present any witnesses in support of her motion. The judge said that her unwillingness to adhere to the school's viewpoint-neutral code of ethics set by the American Counseling Association constitutes a refusal to complete the curriculum. Without completing the remediation plan, she was unable to begin classes at the college as part of a practicum. A filing by her lawyers earlier this week said that she had begun work at Augusta Christian School, which is probably a non-accredited school, at least their counseling program, because they don't adhere to standards.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this? Do you think she has a case by saying that, I'm not going to read that stuff, I'm not going to counsel gays and lesbians, it just goes against my religion, and you're forcing something on me that goes against my religion, and it's church versus state here.
No, this is kind of actually an easy one. I mean, when you go to school of your choosing, you have to follow their curriculum. I mean, I wish I could have told some of my professors in RTBF classes, Alex, you're going to get them. I don't want to read that book for whatever reason.
Well, I mean, I have to have a book for my swimming class. This book costs $80.
Are you serious?
Yes. I would love to say no. So hopefully it's not a lot of my grade, because I do want to know.
Wow. So yeah, I mean,
An $80 book on swimming? I really don't know what it's about.
I can teach you how to swim, Alex.
I know. But
I can't give you a credit.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know what to do.
Okay, but let's say we understand what her religious beliefs are.
Yeah.
Isn't she unlikely to ever really run into gays and lesbians to counsel just because, you know, she's not going to go to for a job in Oak Lawn?
No. But however, like you pointed out earlier.
Yeah, I'm playing devil's advocate here.
You know,
because
regardless of where she counsels, there's going to be a scary counselor, but, you know, she's going to the chances of her running to the subject of homosexuality are very likely.
Yeah. And here are some examples. Okay, so she'll probably get a job somewhere where she will, you know, generally not run into gay and lesbian people in general. Let's say she opens her own practice. Chances are she'll specialize in heterosexual marriage counseling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, they want her to just read this material and just have it in her background, understand it. She might be against it. she might think it's wrong.
Right.
It's okay to think it's
and
wrong.
And it's okay.
You know, just because it says one thing doesn't mean
you have to agree with it.
One of those things that there are lots of different.
That's what college is for, yeah, so you get a well-rounded education.
And there's no reason that in the real world she couldn't say, you know, I really don't want to deal with
right,
you.
Or exactly.
And that's what I'm
exactly.
saying.
Exactly.
However, let's say she opens this practice where she's dealing with heterosexual marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Counseling. Let's say somebody comes in, or a couple comes in, and the problem is the wife's a lesbian.
Exactly.
And they're breaking up. How is she going to help them fairly?
I don't know.
Now, I do understand her being in a position, and all counselors being in a position, you can't be an expert in everything and in every problem, where you listen to the problem once, and reading this information might help her in listening to it and saying, you know, this is not my area of expertise, and let me refer you to somebody who knows this stuff better.
Absolutely.
And that's fine. But you know, the fact that she just doesn't even want to read, she's saying, no, it's my religion and I'm not going to do it. Well, it's the curriculum.
And, I mean, it sounds like she, I mean, I don't know what it entails becoming a counselor, but my idea of a counselor is that you help people. Sounds like she really doesn't have a full knowledge of what her job's going to be in the first place. Because, again, yeah, just like you said, even if someone comes in, okay, I want to help you, so I'm going to, she didn't even have to disclose the fact that she doesn't agree with it. And the person who's coming in may not agree with it. They might say, in fact, I think I'm gay, but I don't want to be gay, whatever. But that's not her, like you said, that's not my area of expertise. Let me send you to someone who has dealt with this and can help you better than I can.
Candy, who we have on our show regularly, she's a relationship counselor. Well, if you come in with a problem that is not related to that, she has a background in other things too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going off into something that's not her area, it's not that she doesn't know anything about it. It's that if you have more of a problem than she can help you with in that, she would say to you, let me recommend somebody who can help you deeper in that area.
I mean, it's the same thing like if you go to the doctor, you got a rash. Your general practitioner, he goes, you know, I'm not for sure what this is. I'm going to send you to a dermatologist. He's helping you.
And let's say you have kidney stones, and and it's 2 or 3 weeks going on, and you haven't been helped. Patty, go to a different doctor. If you're on your appointment Tuesday, they can't figure out what to do for you.
Go see a specialist, Patty.
Okay, let's do the entertainment report.
All right, Cher did it, Elton John did it, and so did Celine Dion, and now Madonna, my mic is falling, now Madonna has made an offer, or has been made an offer to set up residency in Las Vegas to perform shows for a 5-year stint. Madonna is said to be in discussions with promoters to establish a deal supposedly worth a whopping $1
billion. $1 billion?
$1 billion. Now, if the deal becomes a reality, it would put Madonna in a very small but elite club of female billionaires with Oprah Winfrey, Martha Stewart, and Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I could afford my $80 book with that.
But $1 billion?
How long is she going to be performing?
It'll be for 5 years.
5 years, and how many shows will she do a year?
It doesn't give that specific. Yeah. But based on, you know, like when Elton did it and Celine Dion did it, I mean, I think they did like 2 or 3 shows a week for.
I think it was even more than that.
You know, for like half the year. You do perform a lot.
It was a number of shows on the weeks that they performed, and they didn't perform every week.
So okay. Okay. But so, who knows if this deal is going to fall through or not, but good luck to you.
For $1 billion.
$1 billion.
You can do an awful lot with that.
I would perform 7 days a week, 8 hours a day. The cover of Ricky Barton's new release memoir was revealed this week. Very nice picture of him. The book is going to be called Me. And Ricky said that he was writing the memoir alongside announcing that he was gay back in March. In addition to detailing his coming to terms with his sexuality, the new book will reveal his early struggles with his music career, his rise to fame, and fatherhood. The book is going to be released on November 2nd. I actually want to read that. Radio talk show host Dr. Lars Schlesinger announced this week that she will end her radio talk show after the N-word use debacle. Dr. Lars stated that the regaining of her First Amendment rights being the reason for ending her show. She went on to say that, "I want to be able to say what's on my mind and in my heart, and what I think is helpful and useful without somebody getting angry, someone special, or some special interest group deciding that it's time to silence the voice of dissent and attack affiliates and attack sponsors. I'm done with that."
You know, for somebody who likes to hold people accountable, she couldn't on this one call say, "You know, I had a bad day and I was wrong, and let's move on." She couldn't do that.
But you know what? For anyone who questioned the genuine, whether her so-called apology was genuine or not, that statement
tells exactly
just tells you it was so disingenuous. It's not even funny. So she's saying that she wants her First Amendment rights back. Well, they were never taken away.
Right.
That's what the First Amendment is, what allowed you to say what you said.
You just have to deal with the consequences.
You just have to deal with the consequences of what you said.
There's another thing, though. First Amendment is different as applied to broadcast radio on public
airwaves. And it is.
On this station, if you use that word, you would be off the air, and I would see to it, even though David, our station manager, is here this afternoon, but I would see to it, because we don't use
that kind of language
on this station, and that was the problem. Some of her affiliates dropped her.
Oh, yeah, so big affiliates dropped her. The other part of what she says, she wants to be able to say what's on her mind and in her heart without someone getting upset. So that was in her mind and in her heart, what she said.
Of course it was.
That's the only reason why she even issued a so-called apology is because she got caught.
Mm-hmm.
So long, Dr. Laura. And last, one of David Taffet's favorite people debuted their own radio talk show this week, Larry Craig. Yes, the same former Idaho Republican senator who was arrested back in 2007
for
lewd conduct. that Larry Craig, he answered some questions from callers as he made a co-hosting debut on KBOI, but he refused to answer any gay-related questions, and apparently there was a lot of them, because, you know...
Oh, then he wouldn't have used the name that I would have used for his show.
Yeah, so, you know, they have phone screeners. We really don't have phone screeners because we don't really take calls.
Right.
But other shows who take calls, they have phone screeners, and I guess apparently a lot of the calls
had a lot of phone screeners.
A lot of gay-related questions, and he refused to answer any of them.
Right, and you know what I would have named his show?
What?
Larry Craig's Wide Stance. Isn't that a good name for a show?
It's a very good name for a show.
On Brothers and Sisters this fall, Stephen Collins, who played the head of the family on Seventh Heaven.
Yes.
He's going to play Ron Rifkin, you know, Uncle Saul.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play his partner, his boyfriend, his
good
love interest. Neil Patrick Harris. You know, some of the Emmys are awarded early.
Yeah.
And Neil Patrick Harris has already won two. One for Best Guest Actor in a Comedy Series for his appearance on Glee, and one for his work as host of the Tony Awards last year.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, he won two.
Yeah, I wish they had broadcast that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen him, you know, walk
up on the stage.
He's
still up for one more.
That's good.
For his own show.
Also, Neil Patrick Harris put a rumor to rest this week, and that was, you know, a week or two ago, he and his partner announced that they are expecting twins in October, a boy and a girl. But rumors came out shortly after that he was leaving Hollywood, quitting acting, was going to be a stay-at-home dad.
Oh, no.
He said, no, that's so not
that's
true.
That's so silly. We'll be back with more of Lambda Weekly right after this.
KNON thanks you for your pledge to our recent pledge drive. Now's the time to make your pledge count. Send your pledge to KNON, P.O. Box 710909, Dallas, Texas 75371. If you missed our pledge drive, you can still support community radio by pledging on the web at knon.org. Your pledge only counts if you pay it. KNON, Box 710909, Dallas, Texas 75371. Be sure to put the name of the show you are supporting on the check, money order, or the envelope. Questions about KNON's pledge drive? Call 214-828-9500, extension 234.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
It's time for
those darn heterosexuals. Rosemary Douglas, who's 81 years old, finally got around to filing for missed child support payments from her ex-husband. Her ex-husband is now 82 years old, and her little boy is 60 years old. She claimed $50 per month from 1951 until her son turned 18 plus interest. That's $57,000.
Wow. Melanie Shaker is suing a hair salon in Chicago. She fell through the shop's plate glass window as she was walking down the street, arguing with her husband and kicking him. The suit contends that the salon did not protect her by using safety glass in their front window.
And police in Middletown, Ohio, set up a prostitution sting to drive the trade out of a particular neighborhood. Michael Ratliff was one of 29 men caught trying to hire a hooker. He was charged not only with soliciting, but ended up in jail for child endangerment because he had brought along his 18-month-old daughter. Now, Laurent, your daughter is about 18 months. Has this happened to you by mistake?
Not by mistake.
No, by mistake. Okay. On purpose. Only on purpose. And that's this week.
Those darn. Oh my God.
You like
that?
Wow.
It's a perfect place for a kiddo.
Perfect place. Mm-hmm. That poor kid.
I know. Talking about poor kids. Remember the Salahis? Those were the two White House gate crashers at the state dinner. Yeah, well, they were part of a fundraiser that was being held at a Washington, D.C. gay bar for a military charity called Honor and Remember. Tickets were $25 to get in, $500 for access to the VIP room. Well, you know how much the organization's getting? They were promised 40% of the profit. They're getting nothing because the organizers said that they just didn't make money. Now the Salahis are saying, oh, this wasn't a Salahi event. They were not privy to the operational and management aspects of the event, nor were they compensated for their appearance. Something? These people are so shady.
Yeah, very, very shady.
I can understand the $25. We're going to go in, we're going to this event, and, you know. If you're paying $500 to go to an event, and these people's names are the names that are on it, this is like, do your due diligence, like we were talking before about that school out in Bedford. Do your due diligence. Don't just throw out your money. Send it to some place where...
Exactly.
Where it's going to help somebody. And if these two shady characters' names are on it...
And they're very shady.
Yeah. The mayor of Mexico City is suing a Roman Catholic cardinal for defamation after the cardinal charged that the mayor bribed the Mexican Supreme Court to uphold Mexico City's law. Now, there have been three rulings by the Supreme Court. What has been so funny about this is the nastiness was to throw out Mexico City's same-sex marriage law, right?
Right.
Okay, in 3 weeks, the Supreme Court took that case, and obviously in Mexico, their Supreme Court can work a little bit differently than...
Than
ours, because they can broaden a case, and they can do other rulings related to the case. So here's what they ruled. First, they ruled that Mexico City's same-sex marriage law was legal.
It is legal.
Then they ruled later in the week that... not only is it legal, but every other state has to recognize it under their full faith and credit clause. And they have a clause in their constitution very similar to ours. So under their full faith and credit clause, every state has to recognize it. So in effect, Mexico now has same-sex marriage nationwide. You can't get married everywhere in the country. You can only get married in Mexico City. But it will be recognized around the country,
so basically,
unlike here.
Right, right.
And it will be recognized nationally.
So that means we are stuck in the middle. Canada has same-sex marriage. Now Mexico does. And we have it in a few hot spots.
Okay. Then they ruled, number three, that gays and lesbians, gay and lesbian couples, can adopt.
Yes.
I mean, they took this one little narrow case and broadened it out and just started ruling. So the cardinal in, where was he? He was in another city. I forgot where he was. He's saying that the mayor bribed the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has condemned his accusations. The mayor is furious and is suing him for slander. Now, could a politician in this country sue somebody from a church for slander?
They could, but they won't get far.
I mean, the case might get far. I don't think that politician is going to stay in office very long.
No.
Suing a church? Suing a church? No, no.
No.
I don't think they're going to stay in office very long. I think, and this cardinal is from Guadalajara. I'm just reading through. But I don't think he's going to stay in office very long, because I think most people would feel that any lawsuit against somebody like a cardinal, somebody who's, you know, one of the top church officials in that country, is just too much of an invasion of, you know, on the church. This will be real interesting to see what happens to him.
Mm-hmm. I will. Here's another story that happened actually 2 weeks ago, but, you know, we've been so busy with other things, I hadn't had the time to talk about it. There's a man in Long Island who is accused of fatally punching an infant to get him to stop mouthing like a girl. Mm. Now, the guy's name is, he's 20 years old. His name is Pedro Jones. He was babysitting his girlfriend's 17-month-old little boy. It's not his child biologically. He said, the reports say that when they called 911, they found the little boy in cardiac arrest, and he died when he was got to the hospital. The man said that, "I was trying to make him act like a boy instead of a girl. I never struck him that kid that hard before, but I have struck him before." So he basically beat this kid to death. Mm-hmm. And again, we're talking about a toddler, 18 months old, because he was supposedly acting like a little girl.
Okay, now you have an 18-month-old. Mm-hmm. Does she act like a little lesbian?
At times I do wonder.
No, seriously. At that age, what is it that he's even seeing?
I know. I mean, seriously, when you have kids that age, they might as well be genderless. There's really not that big of differences on how they act. You can't go on about, if the little boy liked dolls or whatever, all toddlers are going to probably play with dolls. All of them like to jump up and down and be rambunctious.
Does Gabrielle have a little truck?
She doesn't have a truck, but she does like, you know, balls, and she likes to jump off of things. I mean, she can be pretty rough for a little girl. Mm-hmm. So, I mean.
But
so
she's 18 months old.
She's 19 now, but she's still, 19. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's coming up on the terrible twos. Boy, are we going to enjoy that.
Coming up on, I already in them.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think I haven't brought her up here?
Yeah.
So this man, what I want to know is, he's obviously been arrested. He's already in jail. And he's been charged with murder. But can he be charged with a hate crime? And they just said they're investigating the hate crime status.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, that's more domestic violence.
Well, that too.
That too, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're talking about murder, hate crime laws, when it comes to murder, were really designed more for statistical purposes, because a hate crime that you're being charged with on that level is usually there's a penalty enhancement, but he's being charged with murder.
He is.
You know, the penalty enhancements that we're talking about with hate crimes really have to do with, oh, you did a little bit of vandalism, so it's a Class C misdemeanor or whatever. Mm-hmm. The vandalism that you did was painting swastikas on a synagogue. That's a slightly different class than just graffiti somewhere on a wall.
So, and his class will be different as opposed to killing an adult, because it was a child. Endangerment to a child.
There's usually penalty enhancements for that.
There are, but it does mention on here, you know, he could be charged with a hate crime also.
Okay, yeah, I mean, but that would be more than anything for statistical purposes.
Yeah.
Well,
I say throw everything you can, throw the entire book at him.
Yeah.
I mean, I just couldn't fathom.
Yeah, and I saw that story also, and I was wondering, what is it about an 18-month-old that he thought, you know, there are ways to, if you want to steer your child to be more feminine, you can give Gabrielle dolls. If you, you know,
right.
You know, Alex, they could have given him trucks to play with instead of, you know, whatever. But at 18 months...
Here's something. I mean, I know there's no rational answer to what does an 18-month act like a boy or a girl, mm-hmm. or act feminine or masculine. But, you know, Gabrielle likes to, like, go and put her feet in our shoes and walk around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, well, not obviously, but Denny and I don't wear heels. We don't have any pumps. Mm-hmm. So that means she's putting on men's shoes. And we just laugh at it. Denny has a nephew who does the same thing. He's, puts his mom's heels on and walks around. All kids do that.
You know what you can do? Seriously. Go to a secondhand shop or, like, a Goodwill store and buy her a pair of high heels.
I guess I could.
For, you know, $3. That way she'll have. Let's talk about Target. That is a boycott that has just been – there's been a groundswell for it.
It has.
Okay, here's the issue.
And I wish I could play what they're doing in the stores, but I can't.
Yeah, there's an internet video going around about
attention Walmart shoppers.
Target.
I mean, I'm sorry, Target. Target shoppers.
And
I can't
say
anymore.
How they got on the PA system in the store, who knows. Anyway, here's what's going on. The Target and Best Buy, two Minnesota-based retail companies, made a $100,000 and $150,000. Target's was $150,000 to a pack called Minnesota Forward, which is supporting a right-wing anti-gay candidate. They gave the money, both of them said, because he also supports tax cuts for corporations, you know, mm-hmm. and they didn't study it further than that. Target hired somebody to be their government affairs advisor. He was the chief of staff to John Thune, who's a right-wing senator,
mm-hmm.
And 1 week later they made this donation. So there's more than an oops going on there. It was a conscious effort to hire somebody from a particular political point of view and put him in this position. The boycott is for more than just, well, Target just doesn't like us anymore. There was a Supreme Court decision in January called Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission, which struck down spending limits by corporations in elections. It's a very dangerous law. Corporations can now buy elections. Doing this boycott is a way to say to corporations, you want to spend on disgusting candidates? Well, we're not going to support your company anymore. Target shareholders, three of them, Walden Asset Management and two others, but it was Walden Asset who was the spokesperson for this. They control $57.5 million worth of Target stock, like enough to make a difference when you go to a shareholders meeting to say, no, we're not voting for you as, you know, we're removing you from the board of directors. That would get rid of the CEO who makes millions per year in salary. He filed a resolution this week asking Target to overhaul its campaign donation policies, and they will have to as a result of this if he wants to keep his job.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's interesting. What is their interest? Their interest is we're boycotting. You know, when I say we, the gay community has been causing them problems, doing things like in West Hollywood two Saturdays ago, people were going in, buying things, and returning them, taking them out of the store, walking back in, and returning. A return, it's not an even exchange. The transaction cost them $3, apparently, is the figure that I heard.
It cost the store?
It cost the store $3 to do a return.
Interesting.
You know, credit card fees you still have just because you're returning. There's still credit card fees, employees' time, and there's a cost involved there.
Now, what's the name of the group? Is there a name of the group or of these activists who are going into the stores and doing all this?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nobody in particular.
Okay.
HRC is taking both Best Buy and Target off of their list called their buyer's guide.
Now, what's the difference between buyer's guide and our other?
The corporate equality index. Yeah. In order to get on the corporate equality index, you have to meet certain criteria, like have partnership benefits, like this year have health benefits that include transgender transitioning.
Right.
Benefits.
So the corporate equality index is more about employees.
It's about the employees.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. You take the corporate equality index, Target has 100%, Best Buy has 100% with HRC. AT&T does too, and last year the company in Dallas denied family leave to a gay employee who needed to take time off for his partner who was getting out of the hospital. He had just had a stroke. Now, family leave cost the company nothing because you don't get paid during unpaid family leave.
It just saves your position.
But they didn't have a policy in place to offer comparable family leave to their gay and lesbian employees. AT&T, 100%. Oil companies. BP has a 100% rating. Exxon has a zero rating. Now, BP, we know, takes care of their employees better. They have partnership benefits. They have all of the other criteria in place. Exxon doesn't, and we know that they're the partners of Exxon employees don't get partnership benefits. We know that there are all those different things that they don't get. However, an AT&T incident like that has not happened at Exxon. It hasn't. There just has not been anything like that. Starwood Hotels, 100% rating with HRC. And we had two incidents in Dallas over the last 2 weeks, one at the W Hotel that they own and one at the Jewel downtown, of denying gay people the right to come into their property.
That's right.
Two incidents.
So maybe HRC needs to do some reconfiguring?
Fred Sains with HRC is saying that especially with this new federal election law, they're just going crazy with their ratings. They just they're just beside themselves right now. It's at a point where it's very difficult. We are out of time. We're going to go out with music from
Eric Hyman.
Done the job for me. Well, I was riding the fence on where we stand, and now I see. I started this whole thing with stars in my eyes, and now everything's all over the place. And I'm the sacrifice.